For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Can I invite you to turn to Luke chapter number 5, Luke 5 in the Scriptures. I do pray for Miss Cindy and pray for Pastor that he stays well. And appreciate the opportunity to preach this morning in his place. Wish he was here, and we miss him being here, Miss Cindy. But we're praying for them, and they're praying for us. And as we look into the Scriptures today, let's ask the Lord to help us. In Luke chapter 5, we'll begin there in a moment, but let's pray together and seek the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your goodness. Lord, you have done great things. And Lord, we look forward to the day that the King will come again, as the choir sang of. And Lord, you are, hallelujah, what a Savior. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts to see you. And Lord, as we see you, as you're revealed to us, Lord, may we come to the realization that we are a sinful people, Lord, in need of a Savior. And Lord, not only that, but Lord, we are a people that are of great privilege, that have a great responsibility. And Lord, may we realize your plan for us and what you want to do in our lives today. May we see from your Scripture today what message you'd have for us, and speak as only you can, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. In Luke chapter number 5, we find that the Lord Jesus has begun his ministry. He's been preaching from city to city, and there at the end of chapter 4, they constrained him. They wanted him to stay and preach. And the Lord Jesus said in verse 43 of chapter 4, if you could look there, he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." He was doing the work of his Father. He said, "I must always be about my Father's business." And it was all about the kingdom of God. He was preaching a kingdom not of this world. He was not there to make Israel have a better place to live. And he was not here to make this world a better place. In fact, one preacher said he did not come to make the world a better place from which people could go to hell. He didn't come to improve society or to make, you know, political gains. He came as a servant, serving his Father. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will sit upon the throne, as the choir sang of, the King is coming. But he was here to preach the kingdom of God. And as he went from place to place, he gained followers, and he had those whom he would call to do his work. And coming into chapter 5, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." And I want you to kind of, as we read through this passage, if you would, I want you to take note of two words and see them as they're repeated. I want you to see the word net and the word ship. And that may sound strange and unusual to point out, but as we read them, we'll make a point of this and find what the Lord has for us today. So he's preaching, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, verse number 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. If you noted, the multiple times the word ship and the word net was mentioned. Let me just stop and draw attention to the elephant in the room. There's a wasp flying around. It's right over your head, Isaac. And if we need to... Let's get the devil out of here, shall we? Did we get him? I see him. He's on the front pew crawling up it right there, Jacob. If you don't care. We'll just squat. Hey, we'll take care of business and then we get down to the message. It's right on the front pew, Jacob. There's a hymn book there. See? Oh! Well... Now he's coming after me. Here he comes. Well, we'll just go on and trust the Lord. How about that? These warm December days, here they come. Anyhow, you all start shouting at me if he gets too close. We've noted the word ship and the word net multiple times through the passage. And I'll draw your attention here to verse number 5. And verse number 6, it says, And when they had enclosed a great multitude of fishes, it says their net brake. And then at the end of verse number 7, they had called the other ship over, and it says, and they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. I want to speak just for a moment about the lesson of the broken nets and the sinking ships. Broken nets and sinking ships. There's much to be learned here from these two common, ordinary things. The ships, the nets that were there, they represented for these men, these fishermen, these nets and ships represented their livelihood. They represented how they made their living with nets, with ships. In fact, Jesus, the Bible tells us they were fishermen. Really, those nets and fish and those fishing boats represented their identity. It was who they were. It was fishermen. And the Lord Jesus was about to find them in the midst of doing their routine day, their routine chore, their task, carrying out their livelihood. The Lord Jesus was going to find them where they were and take them to where He wanted them to be. That's where the Lord finds all of us. He finds us where we are and begins an effort to move us to where He wants us to be. First and foremost in salvation, the Lord is seeking the lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's here today seeking for lost. And maybe you found your way in here just by matter of routine or maybe some circumstance, but you're here lost and the Lord Jesus wants to find you right where you are. You may not have been looking for Him. You may have been looking for something, but He was looking for you and is looking for you. He wants to save you where you are. Maybe you're a lost church member. He wants to find you where you are. Just like these fishermen, He wants to take your identity, what you are, and He wants to make you who He wants you to be, and that is in Christ, found in Him, secure, safe in Him. He wants to take you from death into life in salvation. Maybe you're sitting here as a born-again believer, and the Lord is looking at each of us coming into our scene here. Notice these men, they were washing their nets. They were carrying out the final chores of their workday, washing their nets, going through a mundane task of not the most fun part of fishing, just cleaning up their nets, mending their nets, preparing them for the next day where they would start all over and do it again. Go out for a night of fishing. Maybe catch a little, maybe catch none. Night would conclude with washing the nets again, to make ready for the next day of going out and fishing, maybe catching a little fish, then coming back in and mending the nets again. Do you see the routine? Do you see the perpetual part of their life, their livelihood, their day, their rut, if you will? And here we find the Lord Jesus now is coming into the scene with a great host of people. And we find Simon Peter, specifically of them mentioned, is washing his nets. The Lord Jesus was moving into the scene, and he was still just caring about routine, mundane business, carrying out his lifely tasks, daily tasks. The Lord would not allow Peter to stay there, just washing nets, finish up the night, go on home, and do it all over again. The Lord, now we find Him, He's going to interject Himself. Not only was He just going to stand there and preach to the hosts as Peter is off in the shadows, just kind of in the sidelines, doing his thing, working through a routine where He says, we toiled all the night and taken nothing, just going through life with fruitless efforts, no eternal work to speak of. He wasn't going to allow Peter to stay there. No, the Lord Jesus is going to interject Himself, insert Himself right in the middle of Peter's day, in the middle of Peter's life, in the middle of Peter's livelihood. We find that He steps into Peter's boat and He asks him to thrust out a little from the shore. Now we find Jesus is preaching from Peter's boat. He's teaching from Peter's boat. I don't know exactly how the circumstances took place or what happened from that point in the details of it, but I can imagine maybe Peter, maybe a little put off by it, but does it anyway. Maybe he brings his nets along with him and the Lord Jesus is sitting, teaching from the boat of Peter, just out from the shore to the crowds that are on the banks of the Lake of Gennesaret. And maybe Peter brings his nets along and just finishes the chore, cleaning out the nets. It was a long night of work with no fruit to show for it. He was tired. He was ready to get on about his business. And the Lord Jesus is speaking and Peter is listening. Can't help but listen. But the Lord doesn't stop with just teaching the crowd, speaking to the congregation. This morning, the Lord is not going to stop with just a message to the crowd. He wants to speak to you individually. He wants to turn to you and draw His attention and His gaze upon you as He does Peter. The shoving out a little from the shore was just an incremental step to get Peter to where He could bring him to the launch out into the deep step. And so Peter now has been given this request of the Lord. When he was done speaking, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draft, for a drawing of fish. Peter protested to some extent. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. You ever felt that way? Routine, day after day, effort after effort, task upon task, week upon week, month upon month, and what to show for it? But dirty nets, tired back, nothing eternal of it. The Lord was going to take what Peter had and show him what Peter could never do without Christ. He was going to take that net and those ships and he was going to show them the things that he used daily, the things that he was so familiar with. He was going to show him something very unfamiliar. This day was not about catching fish. Peter and those men knew how to fish. They knew how to catch fish. In fact, they told the Lord, "We understand there's no fish to be caught today. We've toiled all the night." It wasn't about catching fish. It was about catching them. The Lord Jesus was after them. And this morning, He is after you and He's after me. Yes, He wants to save you. If you're lost, He's after you to save you. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Cling to the old rugged cross. Find grace and mercy at the feet of Jesus. It's bountiful, plentiful. He'll save and forgive. But Christian, He's after you and I. He wants to break us out of the mundane. He wants to break us out of the routine. He wants to break us away from the toiling all the night and nothing to show for it. Fruitless efforts. Fruitless labors. He was not here to preach of this kingdom and to build this kingdom and this world. It's not about building our kingdom and building our wealth and making our living as we speak. Yes, we must have a living. We must make a living. But there's something eternal to work for. There's something eternal to make an effort towards. There's a task that is at hand. And Jesus had His mind fixed upon it, His eyes and His gaze fixed upon the kingdom of God. That's what He was calling these men to. It was the task of doing something they could never do. And that is change their lives and impact eternity. It's what the Lord had His eyes upon doing that day in their lives. It's what He wants to do in our life. He wants to change your life so that you can impact eternity. Do we ever think outside of our livelihood, our routine, our tasks? Do we think beyond our days, as the Scripture tells us, so number our days? Do we think beyond our kingdom, to the kingdom of God, in which He has called us to and appointed us for? If you're a born-again believer, this world is not your home, as the song says. We're just passing through. Hebrews tells us that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. They had their eyes fixed on a different city, a different place, a different country, whose builder and maker is God. He was going to call these men and teach them lessons with broken nets and sinking ships. If Peter was to learn this lesson, it took a series of steps that Peter, in his mind and heart, would work through in these sequence of events. May I say, the first step was a step of submission. It was a step of submission to the Lord. The Lord Jesus told him in verse number 4 to launch out into the deep. Let out his nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, "Master," that is teacher, "we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." It's interesting to me there that Peter identified his own problem. He identified right where he was, toiling and taking nothing. Working, but nothing to show for it. Moving ahead, but falling ever further backwards. Gaining, but for what? He says. We've toiled all the night. We've worked hard, and nothing to show for it. And the Lord Jesus was trying to get him to take this next step of submission. And notice Peter's words. And thankfully, these were his words. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Nevertheless, at thy word, have we come to the point of submission to the word of God? Submission to His word. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word." At thy word. What you say, I'll do. I'll take you at your word. I've heard you speak now for the last little bit. And there was a sense of authority that he heard in the words of Christ. And upon that authority, he responded in submission. "I'll submit to what you say, and I'll let down the nets." Have you let down your nets in surrender and submission to the Lord? the authority of His Word. As was said when Isaiah saw the Lord, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Couldn't help but respond to the Word of God. As Moses could not help but respond to the Word of God, "Take off thy shoes," responded in submission to the Word of God. It was a step of submission. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets." It was a step of obedience. Notice in verse number 6, it says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." It says, "And when they had this done," I've underlined the two words, "this done," in my Bible. Those words represent obedience. It's one thing to say I am submitting to the Word of God. It's one thing to know what He has said to do and to recognize it as the authority in your life. But it's another step. It's the next step to obey it and to do it. It says, "And when they had this done," it wasn't enough just for Jesus to be in the boat and to be speaking the words to Peter and to him to just launch out into the deep. He had to take the next step, and having this done, let down the net. What is that in your life that needs to be done? What step of obedience is the Lord seeking in your life to take you out of the routine and out of the temporary, out of the temporal, and to maybe shake things up and rock the boat, so to speak, so that we see beyond the temporary and beyond the temporal into the eternal, so that we become submissive to Him in obedience to His Word and letting down the nets? What will you miss out on if you don't obey the Lord? It says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes." This was probably the greatest fishing day these men had ever had, and it would never have happened outside of obedience to the Word of Christ. What will I miss out on if I say no to the Lord's Word in my life? What will we miss if we just say, "I'm going home. I'm finishing the task. I'm going home, and I'm going to do it all over again tomorrow"? And then again the next day, and week after week, and year after year, I'm just going to continue on in my routine, doing nothing of eternal significance, toiling and taking nothing. What will we miss if we fail to obey Him? Peter let down the nets, and they enclosed this great multitude of fishes. Look at verse number 6. And it says, "And their net brake." Their net brake. "And they beckoned." They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that should come and help them. "And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink." You see the broken nets and the sinking ships? They were drowning. They were drowning in success, if you will. The greatest enclosure of fish that they had known in their fishing life. It would have been a great wealth for them to be able to cash that one in and pay their debts and be well fed and put up for the winter, so to speak. But they were drowning in those sinking ships. And they beckoned for help. And they called their partners over and filled both ships, and they began to sink. And those nets that were broken and those ships that were sinking, the Lord Jesus was taking them and He was breaking their will. He was breaking their livelihoods. He was re-identifying them. They were no longer going to be fishermen, but fishers of men, the Lord Jesus said. He would change their lives from this day forward with those broken nets and sinking ships. And they took what would be a step of sacrifice, number 3. Step of submission, step of obedience. It was a step of sacrifice. when there is a sacrifice, something dies. Something dies with a sacrifice. Something must be laid down. It must cost something. And that day, this day with Christ, cost them something. It cost them their nets and their fishes, their fishing boats, their ships. And they would walk away from those fish that day. It was a step of sacrifice. We have this idea as Christians that we get to live on the blessings of God and it will not cost us anything to live for Him, and that He's got to bless us over and over, and if we don't have the blessing, then we don't do the serving. And we kind of have this idea that God owes us these blessings. But the truth of it is, the Bible tells us that we're to be a living sacrifice for Him. We're to be giving it up for Him. You'll not outgive the Lord, but there's nothing that is too great of a sacrifice for Him. These men were generational fishermen. James and John, their father Zebedee, was with them, and they would walk away from their father's livelihood that they were handing to him, or he was handing to them, excuse me. It was a lesson of sacrifice. It was a step of being willing to let something die that day. It was the lesson of the broken nets and the sinking ships. There was no going back to this. They were now going to be with Christ and do His beckoning. It was a step of sacrifice. It was a step of realization. If you look again at verse number 8, and when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw the sinking ship and the breaking nets and the fish, this miracle, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish that they had taken. He was astonished. He came to a realization there in that moment of who Jesus was. He came to a realization in that moment of who He is. He said, "I am a sinful man." He realized what he was and who God is. And I think he realized that it was bigger than himself. It was bigger than the nets. It was bigger than the ships. This moment was bigger than this great miracle of the fishes. It was bigger than fish that day. God Almighty was in his presence, and the God of heaven was standing before him. And Peter said, "Depart from me." In other words, he said, "I don't deserve to be here in your presence." Like Isaiah said, "Woe is me in the presence of God." We need to realize it's bigger than us. It's bigger than just a routine that we come to church and we sing and we give our tithes and offerings and we do our service in our Sunday school and our bus route and our nursing home ministry and our food pantry ministry and feeding the hungry and all of those. It's bigger than just the routine. When we come, the Lord Jesus is in the midst of us. And we are a sinful people that we're not worthy for His presence, but there's a task that He has commissioned us with, and it's world evangelism. It started in the heart of God, and it was commissioned to you and I. It was commissioned to the church. This task of reaching the world, Peter came to a realization. This is bigger than me. This man that's standing before me is greater than I am. I'm just a sinner. And he took a bigger step, and it was a step of surrender, finally. In verse number 10 and 11, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." When they got those sinking ships finally to the shore, and those broken nets, and that great catch of fishes, it was a moment of decision. It was a moment that was a very pivotal moment for not just them, but really all of us. I mean, that moment in their life, in Peter's life, in James' life, in John's life. It was pivotal for you and I. It was pivotal for the church that these men would be standing in this moment with the greatest catch they'd ever made, but standing in the presence of the greatest man they'd ever met, the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says they forsook all, took a step of surrender, and they followed Him. The Lord Jesus didn't want their nets. He didn't want their boat. He didn't want their fish. He wanted them. What's the Lord asking of you today? It's okay when He's in the boat teaching and we're going through our routine. What about when He says, launch out? Far from the shore where we can't hold on or get out. Out into the deep, taking a step that seems maybe unreasonable or illogical. Let down your nets. What is the Lord asking of us today as a church? Launching out into the deep. He wants to do a great work of faith, teaching us a great lesson. What does God want to break and sink in your heart, in your life? Maybe He's breaking some things away in your life. And you don't understand what's happening, but God is moving. God is stirring. God is breaking some things away, breaking you away from some safety nets, so to speak. Wanting to move you. And use what is in your life that you're used to and familiar with to show you something that you could never do without Him. As the Lord, the Bible says, the mother eagle, she stirs her nest. She makes it uncomfortable for the little eaglets so that they fly the nest and leave the nest. The Bible tells us as the Lord does that, so the Lord does that. He'll stir the nest. He'll break the nets. He'll sink the ships. He'll drown us in success so that we cry for help like they did. Help us! Only to point out the one who has the plan, the one who is the helper, is standing in the middle of the boat. And what He wanted to do in their life, He said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Another passage, He says, follow Me and I will make you to become fishers of men. He was going to change their identity that day. From men who did mundane tasks, just making a living, to fishers of men who would impact not only human history and the church age, but eternity. Today, you and I are no different than Peter or James or John. They're just men going through routine tasks, fishermen. But the Lord Jesus still asks of us the same request or the same commission. Follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Will you let down your net? Will you let the Lord break your net? Sink your ship, maybe? Shake up the routine so that your life and my life and this church can impact eternity. Not just impact a community, impact eternity for the cause of Christ. Broken nets and sinking ships.